Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for sim racing news discussed occasionally. It is episode 40 of our 2023 season. I cannot believe it's already the middle of October. Hello, everyone. I'm Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me, as ever, is Mr. Louis Satterley and Taylor Burris.
Hello!
Hello!
We're all three here this evening for the first time, and it feels like a month, almost.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while, but we're back together again, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, it was three shows ago that we were all together again, so it's been longer than a month.
Yeah, it really has been longer than a month.
Yeah. That's 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know about you, gentlemen. I still have a bit of an IMSA hangover after the race on Saturday.
Yeah, sadly, that sets in real hard. But in more pressing news, we do got to say goodbye to a friend.
We do?
Yeah, we do. As you guys know, my headset is 20 years old.
Your headset is older than some of the people who race on Toro. Continue.
Some of the people that listen to this podcast, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, since the last time I was on the show, I have made a purchase.
Have you made a poor financial decision, Mr. Satterley?
It was a cheap, poor financial decision. Okay. And by cheap, I mean a little over $100. Mm. As we are sitting here doing this, this is not going to be the last show on this headset. This is, in fact, right now going to be the last words on this headset. So we say goodbye to the good old-fashioned Logitechs right this minute. And we say hello to the new stuff.
And we can hear you without crackling.
Yeah. And you guys sound much better as well.
Good.
Yeah, bittersweet moment there, but I figured you guys have been pestering me for the longest time about getting this fixed. I'm sure the listener's been wanting me to get this fixed for the longest time. I know Tim.
I have received a number of DMs, particularly about your microphone, if I'm honest.
From Tim and gang, I take it?
No, from listeners.
Ah, from listeners. Okay, well, there you go, dear listener. We have gotten into this particular decade. So, yes. The old Logitechs have been wonderful to me. But yeah, it's time for new. So anyway,
sim racing news.
Yes. off of that depressing but lighthearted subject, and everybody I'm sure is rejoicing now.
Yes. Do remember that you can follow us on social media at the Simcast Radio. Tell us what you're thinking about the show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And of course, us three, Matt and Steven on the other show, are members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective.
Huzzah.
Yes, I'm a little bit sad because of how hectic my day at work was this week when Midweek Motorsports normally airs. I didn't get to listen in to hear about their thoughts about the last hour and a half of the race.
Mm.
And I am, of course, still talking about the Petit Le Mans. Anyway.
Well, we're not going to spoil it for you because that's something you can go back and listen to.
Yes. Yes, it is. Anyway, there is also another form of hangover coming throughout the sim racing community. That's the ADAC Sim Racing Expo hangover. If you are unfortunately not able to make it to that expo, if you go to Gamer Muscle's YouTube channel, you can watch the 2 hour and 15-ish minute video where he shows you everything that was at the expo. Many of the things that were shown off at the expo are the things we'll be talking about in this episode. This episode is particularly hardware heavy.
All right.
If you're interested in that kind of thing, this is the show for you. If you are just here for the iRacing news, maybe you should listen to Taylor's other show. But you can, there's plenty in our back catalog that might interest you, where we do a lot of deep dives into updates and things like that. Speaking of updates, we do have two that we want to talk about this evening. The first one being Forza. If you listened to the show last week, of my pre-recorded review of the new Forza game with my Taurus staff, or my co-Taurus staff member, Jam, one of the things that we talked about a lot in that segment was the various bugs that have shown up within the first week of the game's life. Now, we already knew that
that's expected.
Yes. This is 2023. Day one patches are the norm, unfortunately. Which
we should stop a movement that says stop day one patches and release the full game.
Didn't we, about a year ago, have a conversation on the show about how day one patches are available because everyone's connected to the internet now and there isn't as much pressure to ship a complete game because you can just update it willy-nilly?
Yeah. We did discuss that, yeah.
Yeah. It's always a good something to remember. Don't ask me what episode that was. I don't remember. I just remember having that discussion.
Yeah, I remember having that discussion too, but a Sebring and a 24 Hours of Le Mans has happened since then, and a Petit Le Mans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a full racing season has happened since then.
And a Daytona.
So, things are a little fuzzy at this point.
It's not even March yet, Lewis. Good grief.
So, you're telling me, I was sitting there talking to somebody earlier, this is like, where's October gone? And I just like, we're in October? I'm still stuck in March.
Anyway, so getting back on track here, Forza has released their first update to this new motorsport platform. This is, of course, is the platform that they say that they're going to be changing and adapting for many years. How that's
I'll believe
going...
it when I see it.
Gooby took words out of my mouth. But this update was pretty much a whole litany of different updates and fixes of bugs. There were a couple cars that had, like, you could see the race roll cage when it only had a sport roll cage. Things like, fixed an issue with the 2014 Lamborghini Huracan where no light is cast from the car garage and dashboard cluster, as well as the headlights, taillights, and brake lights.
Well then.
Yes. But the big kind of important thing about this update was that the performance parts are now fully unlocked by level 25. You no longer have to get your car to level 50 to unlock everything. You have all the parts unlocked by level 25. However, there are still levels in between 1 through 25 that don't actually unlock anything, which makes them kind of not
pointless.
Useful. Yes, pointless is the word. And B, everything still costs the same amount of car points. So you might have everything unlocked, but you're still not going to have enough car points to use everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So a lot of the comments made about this game, which some Some have been in the world of constructive criticism. Others have just been full on complaining and yelling. And that's putting it mildly. There's a lot of confusion about why there's two different currencies in this title at the moment. Both which make the other semi-redundant. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You can buy cars with your in-game credits that you earn from doing events and other things like that. But the only way to upgrade your cars, and if you've listened to this show, this is a rehash, but I'm explaining for those who might not have listened to that part of the show before. Performance parts are purchased with car points, which you gain by driving your car around the track. So, I'm not sure why there's just not one in-game currency, because one in-game currency has been fine through 7 other Forza Motorsports and 5 other Forza Horizon games. But,
yeah,
here we are.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But they do love to fix what's broke or what's not broke. So,
yeah. I understand what they were trying to do with this CarPG system. It just was not the greatest execution.
No, and I think that's another reason why people are kind of hard on them, because they were away developing this game for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That it should have been thought out a lot better than this.
Yes. Yeah. And people are also being very vocal about it because, you know, the Forza franchise founded this podcast.
Yeah.
I met Matt and Gluey and Jordan through Forza.
Yeah.
And Steven, of course. So, yeah, a lot of passion going on behind the scenes as far as feedback. Forza has released their full update notes on their support website. So if you go to support.forzamotorsports.net, you can read all that information. There's also a very, very long list of known gameplay issues that you can look through to see if something that you've noticed has been reported yet.
They've had 7 years. Why is this list that long?
2023. Day one patch. Anyway, if you're interested in reading all of the things that they patched during this update, go ahead and check that out. Louie, do you want to talk about our Factor 2?
We can. Actually, before we go on to that, I just read something today in response to Forza being released. Apparently, the rumor is going around about Gran Turismo 7 that their next update, version 1.4, is allegedly going to be the biggest update they've done yet.
Oh, is there information about what's going to be included in?
There hasn't been anything included, but I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of content-based stuff and how you're able to play on there now, because now they have competition and they knew what to base it off of. But the article that I read, it was revealed by somebody who is close to Polyphony. Mm-hmm. They didn't reveal any details on it, but they said that it's going to be a pretty big update. And they haven't been wrong before on other updates they've mentioned about before. So, So just one quick little blurb there while we were on the subject of the two rival console racers.
I have often said on this program that whenever Forza and Gran Turismo have competition, they're just better games.
Yeah, and they're finally competing up against each other again. Mm-hmm. So,
and I'm sorry, Forza, Gran Turismo is currently doing so much better than you in the livery creation department. Please step it up.
Yeah. And actually, sorry. I think they're currently winning the overall better title at the moment. Myself.
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully this is like what Forza says, Turn 10 says, that they're going to develop this, and hopefully they'll go blow for blow and actually try to beat each other. So
mm-hmm.
I do hope that a lot. Anyway, on to the R Factor 2 news, shall we?
Yes.
Alrighty, so online addresses several bugs, according to the headline that we got here out of this one. What those bugs are, I haven't experienced any of them, because I really don't go online very much. So they have a new release candidate build for the growing multiplayer community to sample, as always. Released, what's today? We're recording on 8th, so this came out on Tuesday, the 17th. New build tidies up the R-Factor 2 Online's rotation of events and their featured content with stuff that they do. This mostly has to do with their online racing stuff. All new schedule of beginner, intermediate, and advanced races to try, which admittedly, they've had stuff like this going on for the last year and a half, but it's just been kind of convoluted and more complicated than it need to be from what I read before. They also plan to schedule, in addition to these races, they also plan to schedule some GT3 and British Touring Car special races every Tuesday and Thursday from now onwards. So that's awesome. So these special events that they're going to be doing now that are going to go from the 17th to the 23rd of October. So on Tuesdays weekly, at 9:15 Central European Time, we have British Touring Cars at Donington Park GP. Thursday, we will have the weekly, or at 9:10 Central European Time, it'll be the weekly GT3 Open at Spa-Francorchamps. And on Saturday at 9:30 p.m., same time zone, Central European Time, back to school with BMW M2 CS Cup at Sebring. So that is the weekly ones. The beginner racers that are going to be happening every hour, we have Radical Rookies. So this is the Radical SR3 RSX. I believe that is their GT3 car that they often have. But the track is going to be Botania Ring Short. I'm pretty sure I mispronounced that. BMW M2 Cup for the Portland Full Circuit. And then the Open Wheel Sprint, which is going to be the Tatis FT50 on the Tobin Short Reverse Circuit. Intermediate races that are going to happen every 2 hours. We have Prototype Challenge, which is the LMP3 Norma or the LMP3 Lige, around Bahrain International Circuit, the GP circuit, that is. And then you have Touring Car Championship, which is the 2021 British Touring Cars around Brands Hatch GP. And then the advanced races, which happen every 3 hours. It's going to be what they're calling Road Course Rivals, and this is LMP2, so you have the choice of the Orica or the Lige. And the track is Daytona Road Course. So you have those going on at the same time as the special races that are happening every Tuesday and Thursday for you to consume and enjoy. Not consume. You don't want to eat those. Be very lackluster diet. Anyway. So yeah. Did I lose you guys?
Nope, still here.
Okay, everybody got quiet.
No, I was just looking over the schedule and agreeing with you. It's a really cool idea, and of course, pretty cool to see an Orica LMP2 update, you know, coming out utilizing Daytona for the advanced racing series, and we'll see how the rest of these beginner races. I mean, it kind of looks like they're trying to do something similar to what iRacing has with their licensing or their leveling system here, by the looks of it. But you know, it's a good idea. Gives the drivers to focus on one track for a while, and of course focus on one car, which in a variety of tracks are really exciting to see and be interested to see how it plays out for them.
Absolutely. So some other system updates that they also included on this, just to go ahead now that I've finally been able to pull up where that list is. Usernames no longer support symbols, which I guess people are putting themselves at so-and-so or what have you, probably putting their X handles, the platform formerly known as Twitter, as we like to say. Leaderboard improvements, so that's track layout consideration added, gap calculation bug fixed, and added row to showcase your time, if set, in parentheses. New designs for rank badges are now displayed. Error warning messages added for practice server join failures. Unique server mod names for each server to address unable to install mod errors. Player selecting a Cupra British Touring Car Championship car will not face disconnections, which that's a good way to penalize your competition. Increased DR exchange in higher level races and decreased SR gain potential in higher level races. This does not affect potential loss. So there you go. That is the full change log of the technical side of things for the system.
Wouldn't it be really funny if there was someone in the deep in like the Studio 397 network architecture that just has a thing for hating Cupra? So it's like, hey, I would do something. I would do something chaotic and interesting.
I was going more the evil route, but we can go chaotic.
I love his Skeletor laugh that he just did myself.
Chaotic neutral. Come on. Anyway, thank you for that, Chloe.
Yeah, no problem.
And moving on, this is be kind of one of our more discussion-based topics on tonight's program. F1 Manager 2023 developer Frontier Developments has unfortunately announced a bunch of layoffs and budget cuts after its 2022-2023 financial reports reveals that it has had heavy losses. According to their numbers, they have made a net loss of, and this is before taxes, £26.6 million.
Wow.
And just a reminder, we're talking about Frontier Developments, not Motorsport Games.
No, because I think if Motorsport Games lost that much right now, they'd definitely be done.
Motorsport Games doesn't have that to lose at this point.
Well, then again, they might have, because they did successfully sell the license, so they might have gotten enough.
Yeah, this is something that we talked about. That I don't remember where I read this, but the NASCAR license was purchased by iRacing for $5 million.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there was also estimates of like Motorsport Games has about $1.2 million in that they will have to pay in back pay to their developers, as well as almost $1 million would also go to NASCAR for failing to meet their agreed upon terms. They're still not in the best place.
No, they're not. Okay, well, they got 2.5 more months they could survive, and hopefully they can get another influx of money at the beginning of the year and help get them out of that hole. I'm kind of cheering for them because we all love an underdog, even if they don't have the best track record for how they've treated their employees.
They don't have a good track record. Just full stop. It's just been bad after bad.
Well, I mean, like we've covered, and I know we're on a complete tangent right now, but we have covered at the beginning of the year, they did appear to do some of the right things to correct the ship, and I think that put a lot more people back on their side.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
I do appreciate that we've actually seen the P2 for Le Mans Ultimate now.
Oh yeah. Which I think that's what they're hoping on, is the injection of money from the sales of that game.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, shall we get back on subject? Yeah.
Frontier Developments.
Yes.
Yeah.
That other game developer.
Yeah. According to their statements, while F1 22 saw almost 1 million copies sold, enjoyed some really positive reviews and just overall reception for the community, F1 Manager 2023 sales have been less than what they had expected. Most of the reviews of F1 Manager 2023 that I've read basically said that this isn't really worth buying, because it's just basically it's a roster.
It's the exact same thing, right?
It's basically the same thing, except the drivers have moved around a little.
Right. Yeah, so you paid a lot of money just for a roster update.
Yeah. This is what happens whenever you do a year release.
Of basically the same thing without anything new coming out.
Yes.
The only people that know that get away with that is Madden.
I was going to say, while EA has basically... This is how EA makes their money, is that they sell the same game over and over and over and over again. They're also EA. They're a giant company and not a relatively unknown developer like Frontier.
Yeah, they got other games that they can rely on to make back that net loss there. Like the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah. But apparently, despite all of these layoffs and cutting back on their overall budget and annual costs, which apparently they're cutting everything by at least 20%,
wow,
they're still committed to making a game for 2024. Have
you collective facepalm. Collective facepalm.
Yes, collective facepalm.
Collective facepalm.
I'm not sure they learned their lesson.
I was going to say, clearly they didn't.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because...
I don't know if this new headset will pick it up, but literally this is everybody on the show right now.
Nope, did not pick it up. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, that was me facepalming.
It's unfortunate because... The F1 Manager games has a solid platform.
I never played them because I thought they're kind of redundant with all the other different types of Motorsport Manager games that are out there that are literally based on the exact same format of racing.
This is true, but none of them had the fancy F1 licensing. And if you care about that kind of thing, this would interest you. That all being said, it's not unique enough to warrant a yearly release.
No, definitely not.
In my opinion. They could have just called this F1 Manager and left the date off and just continued to run it like as continuous updates like Forza Motorsport is doing.
Well, I was going to say, if they wanted to do the roster update thing... Literally all they had to do, and if they wanted to make money out of it, was say, hey, pay this much money and you can get the new roster. Yeah.
It's a 2023 DLC.
Shocker!
Mm-hmm.
Bet you they would have made even more money on that, and they would have been alright.
Yeah. But unless they have...
But hey, what are we? We're not marketing people or anything. We don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not like we consume these things or not.
It's not like we've been in the sim racing world for 10 years or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
No,
we're not experts.
Total novices. All that said, unless they have some extremely unique plan for 2024, I don't see how they could have anything unique for 2024 because they basically cover everything. Unless they... Oh, they're not going to add like a drive to survive system in this game, are they?
Oh, good job. You put it out there in the universe.
I'm not sure how that would even be possible, because even with the F1... or F123 powered by EA Sports, or whatever it is.
Something
even
like
with that.
That
even with that, with... I am blanking on the title of their Drive to Survive-esque.
Oh, the Taylor, can you help us
Breaking
out?
Point. Breaking Point.
There it is.
I was going to think of it eventually.
I was going to make you suffer a little bit.
Oh, you would too.
Who's the chaotic evil one now? Anyway,
I don't know why you moved to Texas.
even Breaking Point shies away from using the real drivers in their stories. They make cameos, but they aren't the main focus. So unless they introduce, like, create your own team. Actually, that's a better idea. Creating your own team within F1 Manager so that... Have I just fixed their...
So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. You're going to write down every single one of these ideas on a piece of paper right now, okay?
Right.
All right, you're going to put it inside of an envelope. You're going to address the envelope to yourself, and you are going to put it in the mail. Okay? You're going to do the cheap man's patent on this, so once you get that stamp of approval from the U.S. Post Office, do not open that letter. That way you can have all these ideas to yourself, and if they use them, you can go ahead and file a lawsuit. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Little piece of advice for all you listeners out there that are in North America. That works.
Yeah, so if they do decide to do that, A, that actually might be a good idea. B, I don't have a point B because it's just a good idea. Adding a create your own team system within the F1 Manager game so that it's that little touch of other management titles, but in the F1 world. They've done it on the F1 console games for years now. So maybe that's something managers should look at. The F1 managers should look at.
Oh, just, man, I just discovered something just now.
What did you discover?
This headset, because it's wireless, I don't have to be hunched over and lean kind of close to my computer, because otherwise the cord would just rip the headset off my ears. I just saw it back for the first time. This is nice.
Thank you, Astro, for correcting my friend Lewis's posture.
This might be a bad thing because we're doing this show so late in the evening. I might pass out during one of these.
Do not fall asleep on me, man.
I'm not falling asleep, Ben. I promise. I promise.
Jeez. All right. So
comfort
if they
mode
do
unlocked.
If they do add that kind of functionality into F1 Manager 24, I am immediately buying the game so I can create an Andretti Autosports and take over the F1 championship. Because no one can object to them being there if it's in the game, right?
Yeah. How about that? Oh, by the way, speaking of, you're talking about rejecting. You hear the FI president's remarks on that lately?
Not lately.
Okay, so apparently one of the latest remarks about why they can't have an 11th team in the F1 paddock is because the pit space is going to be far too limited to accommodate an 11th team. So the FIA president just fired right back. It's like, well, that's obviously not the case because there's currently an 11th team taking place in the fantasy world for Brad Pitt's movie, who is literally taking up the 11th team pit space, and you guys are doing just fine with it.
Burn.
Oh yeah. I was just like, oh, that's a spicy comment right there.
Yes,
but so amazing.
Oh yeah.
Also, yes.
Well, let's be honest. A lot of us are pulling for the fact that that 11th team does make its way in. And
well, I think a lot of Americans are because it's going to be an American team.
It will.
And one that actually shows signs of success and not just pounding around.
And not bankrolled by a Russian oligarch.
Well, that hasn't happened for a couple of years now.
Yeah, but
that
still.
We know of.
That we know of, yeah.
That we know of, yeah, that's a good point.
So, but yeah, the only question is, will they have both seats filled by American drivers, or will there be a mixed bag, or at least one American driver in said cars?
Gotta look at the super license.
Yeah, yep. That's the only
who's
problem.
Eligible for that, and at the moment, I don't think there is an American that's eligible. Let me rephrase that. There is an American that is available, but not one that is very well
competitive.
Known. Like Colton, not like a Colton Herta or Kyle Kirkwood, Joseph Newgarden, people like that.
Mm-hmm. Look at us talking about motorsports in our sim racing podcast.
Yes. I'm pretty sure the collective will be like, the collective will be like, hey, go back to talking about sim racing.
Yeah.
Save that stuff for the big boys.
Hey, in fairness, we don't get to post too much about our motorsport opinions, so.
We should do that every so often.
Maybe. Yeah. Matt definitely would probably jump at the chance of doing that. Anyway.
I know I would.
So, to recap the show so far.
I'll tell you how high I can go.
To recap the show so far, Gluey has a new headset. Forza is kind of disappointing. R Factor 2 has new races. And I fixed Frontier Development's financial crisis.
And allegedly Gran Turismo is going to try to make Gran Turismo better now that Forza's out.
Yeah.
Just a rumor.
Just a rumor.
Just a rumor. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right.
I hope that rumor's true.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Frontier Developments in the future. If they actually want to contact me and to get licensing for that idea, you know, hashtag SimcastRSL at Simcast Radio. Hashtag Ben had good ideas for once.
Like, no joke, Ben, you better have written those down and mailed them to yourself. and by mailed them to yourself, I mean tomorrow morning, so the morning before the show is aired, because as soon as somebody hears it, they're going to put it in the mail the next day. So you get a one-day head start. Just saying.
Yes, I will write that down after we are finished with tonight's recording. Anyway, moving right along, this is going to be the mostly hardware portion of tonight's program. We're going to start with Acetek. Acetek has unveiled a new modular steering wheel system for their sim racing bases. It is a very interesting idea, and it gives you a lot of customization options that, you know, you don't usually get from, like, Thrustmaster, definitely you don't have this many customization options from the quote-unquote factory. You can change the rim on your Thrustmaster wheel as long as it's modified in certain ways so that it fits onto the Thrustmaster hub. With the Fanatec wheels, older Fanatec wheels, you always had that central hub that you could attach to your own wheel, but there's also a couple of different other wheel options in their wheelhouse. With this system, you get to choose from Acetek's two new button boxes. One's called the Forte, and one's called the La Prima. And I'm probably mispronouncing that, but
it sounded good in my ears.
Yeah, La Prima, probably. The Forte has... They essentially have, the Forte and the Prima have basically the same things. Both have 8 push buttons. Both have two-way toggle switches. I read that incorrectly. Okay, I'm just going to start from the Forte and go down. Forte, 8 push buttons, 2 two-way toggle switches, 2 7-way kinky switches.
This is a family show.
I know. I'm sorry. 3 rotary encoders. I didn't name them switches. 3 rotary encoders. 4 thumb encoders. Paddle shifters. Rev lights. ABS/TC lights. And is compatible with the different choices of 6 rims. And you can upgrade it to analog clutch paddles. And it also has a carbon fiber finish. I should also mention that. The Prima version has 8 push buttons, 2 7-way kinky switches, 3 rotary encoders. I am pronouncing that correctly, aren't I?
Rotary encoders? Yes.
No, kinky switches.
You are reading that correctly.
Okay, just making sure.
I know that part was a copy and paste, but their terminology could have been way better than that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't even know what a Prima switch is.
Yes. Prima also has 3 rotary encoders, 2 thumb encoders, paddle shifters, rev lights, and compatible with the choice of 6 different rims and their brush aluminum finish. Both of these button boxes cost the same. It's $379.99 or euros without the rim. But with the rim, you're looking at $499.99 or euros and dollars.
That's compatible.
It is very compatible. For the steering wheels themselves, you have a round rim comfort plus, and the round rim leather. The comfort plus, I believe, the only real difference is that it's leather or Alcantara.
Yes, and the material it's made out of, yeah.
Yeah, not sure why I chose to go Alcantara, but it's staying. You have the closed-D black leather, the closed-D orange leather. The real main difference there is that the color of the grip of the steering wheel is either black or orange. You have the open-D leather or the open-D suede. All of these wheels, minus the round comfort plus, are $119.99 or, you know, €119.99. The round rim comfort plus is $159.99 and euros.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but okay. Yep. I can't imagine that material is that much more expensive, but okay.
Yeah. I like the fact that these... What was that, Taylor?
I would say you'd be surprised of how much a price difference is with just certain material.
Yeah.
Well, I don't doubt that, but... Anyway, I digress.
Yes. I like the idea of having, like, for the Forte, I like having the idea of having the ABS and TC lights on the rim itself.
Oh, yeah.
That
for
is
sure.
A cool feature. And there are other rims that have that feature. I just like to say, hey, that's cool. I like that. yeah. Again, I believe these are only compatible within the Ace Tech, platform. So if you are going to go look at these, make sure that you also look at what else they have to offer.
There you go.
Yes.
Forte looks like it's a much more comfortable rim anyway, my personal opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And if...
more Ace compact.
And again, if any of the sim racing peripheral manufacturers want to send us samples to test, let us know.
yes, we are looking for partners and sponsors. So if you'd like to sponsor us, you know, for a month or two or... You know, forever. We will give an unbiased and honest opinion of your kit, and yeah.
Yes. Moving on, Fanatec announced 2 new direct drive rail bases.
Interesting.
Somewhere in the distance, Matt Hunter had a conniption.
It's not ours.
Yeah. These two wheels are essentially the same. Let me take a step back here. Before these two were announced, Fanatec had 4 different bases. He had the 5 Newton meter and 8 Newton meter CSL DD and Gran Turismo DD, which is basically the same platform. The 20 Newton meter Podium DD1 and a 25 Newton meter Podium DD2. Fanatec has chosen to strategically place itself within that 10 Newton meter market where Logitech and Thrustmaster have placed themselves in, essentially putting them in direct contact with them. And these guys are. Fanatec is coming in with more power. The first DD wheelbase that we're going to talk about is the Club Sport DD, which has a listed output of 12 Newton meters of constant force. What that means, I don't know. This base will be compatible with PC and the Xbox, provided you own a Xbox-specific wheel rim. For information about that, go ahead and check Benedict's website. It is the same finned style base that we're expecting to see from Fanatec, along with their fairly new quick release to the KR2 quick release system, which they announced last month. That comes new with this base. The price of this, $700 or 700 euros.
Yikes.
That's also putting it, that's a little less than the Fanatec. Or, I'm sorry, we're talking about Fanatec. That's a little less than the Thrustmaster 818 and a lot less, like $300 less than the Logitech DD that I cannot remember its name of right now.
That's okay. It still hurts.
These are not cheap. Let's just put that out there right now. These are not cheap. But
they never are.
But you are getting good numbers for your money. The other wheel is the Club Sport DD Plus, which has a listed output of 15 newton meters of constant force. This one, though, has PlayStation compatibility, so this one you can literally use all the platforms: PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S. As long as you have the Xbox wheels, the same thing goes for the other Club Sport wheel.
Yeah, but it's not compatible with the Switch. No deal.
I don't know how to put this.
That was a joke.
Who cares? Sorry, but who cares?
I know. It was a joke.
Mine's not a joke.
It never is.
Anyway,
it's not a joke. Why are you laughing?
The output of, or the price, excuse me, of this Fanatec Club Sport DD Plus wheel, $1,000.
Who?
That puts it in direct contest with the Logitech wheel, but it's worth noting, Logitech wheel comes with a rim and pedals. This is just the base.
I need to become friends with a gozillionaire.
Ain't that
the
truth?
We've said many times on this program, welcome to Sim Racing. We're sorry about your savings. Yeah. So that around 10 newton meter market that we have three competitors for now. Actually, no, I'm sorry. We have four competitors now. I forgot about the Mozo wheels.
I was going
to
say Mozo.
The R15.
Right now, I think Mozo's winning that market at the moment, aren't they?
They are doing pretty good at that market.
Yeah, price-wise, I think they are winning that market at the moment.
I'm just going to verify that metric.
There's one that I swear they had one that come out like $500. Or close to it.
I think that was the R5.
Yeah. That's sounding familiar.
Yeah, the R9 right now is, and again, that's a little less than, oh, the R9 is the $500 base.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, the R12, which puts it in direct competition with the Club Sport DD, is, as soon as the webpage continues to load, $589.
Yeah, so they're still winning that big time.
Yeah, price wise, Moza is winning that battle. From what I understand, Moza also has pretty decent customer support as well.
So, so cheaper and good customer support.
Yeah, Fanatec has had, let's call it, less than stellar records with customer support in the past. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that was, from what I remember, that was mainly due to high high order volume because it was 2020.
Yeah, that was pretty much the case for everybody.
Yep, pretty much.
So, you know what that means? I'm going to have to wait about 2.5 years before I get one of these on the used market because somebody decided they don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It bears saying that if you're looking to get into the sim racing hobby and you don't have all the money to spend, don't buy new. Look at eBay. There's probably...
Oh, even somebody, Amazon.
Yeah. There's more than likely someone who is probably going to be selling their Thrustmaster T248, for example. Maybe someone upgraded to the T818 and has just the extra 248 lying around that they're selling. That would be a good place to start. That is a belt-driven wheel. It's going to give you everything you need to start learning how to sim race. Perfect option for you.
Yeah, another good place to go for buying options actually is Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And I say that, and I do mean this wholeheartedly as well. Given the way that transactions happen with Facebook Marketplace, be safe. Bring a friend with you on these transactions.
Meet in public places.
Public places, and bring a friend with you.
Particularly a large friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, another suggestion since we're on this topic. Join a sim racing focused Discord.
Yeah. That's another good one to do.
Yeah,
I'm
in at least three.
A lot of people are actually selling in that one.
Yeah, I'm in at least three different sim racing Discords that have a used peripheral market of some sort.
Yeah. And it amazes me that they're willing to ship internationally with that, too, because that's a lot in cost mm-hmm. as well. Anyways.
There's also been people that's advertised on the Tora server for used sim racing equipment.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, so Fanatec has well and truly entered the, let's call it, consumer-level direct drive wheel market.
Yeah,
nothing
upper consumer
that's,
level. But
yeah, nothing that's
there.
Too powerful, that's going to rip your hands off, but could still do it in the right circumstances.
Hey, Jordan!
I haven't gotten the picture of Jordan with
Simcast's
ice pack
official
on...
crash test dummy.
I haven't gotten the picture of Jordan with ice packs on his wrist lately, so I think he's been safer now that he has a round wheel whenever he does silly things.
Ah. Well, you live, you learn.
Yep. Anyway, so it'll be interesting
some of his
to see...
goofy stories.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what movements happen in that market as time goes on. Last little bit of sim racing periphery stuff we're going to talk about. This one isn't exactly hardware. It is software. Thrustmaster has announced that they have launched a new companion app for their products. This is something I'm going to be messing with hardcore after tonight's program. The app is called My Thrustmaster, which... Without
this
the context,
is a family show.
Without the context, it sounds very sketchy.
This is a family show.
I will share this story. A couple Christmases ago, I asked for a new THA shifter from Thrustmaster because mine suddenly stopped working, and my sister called me and said, "Are you sure this is what it's called?"
So,
and I had to explain, yes,
that is a bad
that
thing.
Is what it's, huh? What was that, Taylor?
That is a bad situation.
That is a bad situation.
So, funny enough, when I first moved in with Lisa and I set my wheel up, she sits down next to me and she reads it right across the steering wheel because,
yep,
you know, Thrustmasters, they love to advertise their name.
Yep.
Literally over my shoulder, I just hear, "Excuse me, what is that called?" This is like, I know, it's a French company. I could just tell you that it might be poorly translated. That's it.
That might be a good... Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Back to the story.
The point
in family show.
The point of that entire change of being Thrustmaster, perhaps you should have done some consumer product research of some sort.
At least in the English vocabulary.
Maybe. But that's all I'm going to harp on this, because I think this is really cool and I really want to try this out.
Once you get done messing around with it, let me know what you think of it. And
I will. Because here's the good news, Chloe.
Uh-huh.
You want to know what the compatibility with this app is?
Everything.
It is literally everything. The T818, the new direct drive wheel, is compatible. The TGT2, the last Thrustmaster Gran Turismo wheel, is compatible. The TS XW and the TS PC Racer, also compatible. The T300 series, compatible.
Hey.
The TX, TMX, TLCM pedals, the T248, the T128, and the T150, all compatible.
Compatible with Lola, even. Nice.
Yes. And
there's somebody who's a car historian that is currently laughing.
Yeah. As he... I didn't realize what you said there. Now I have, and now I'm laughing.
Yeah.
just as for point of reference, the T300 and the TX, those came out in the early 2010s, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, those are close to 15-year-old wheels. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly if you are a Thrust... Oh, God. I can't say if you're a Thrustmaster user... I can't say if you're a Thrustmaster user without giggling now. Thank you. If you
don't
are
blame them. Blame Thrustmaster for coming up with that idea.
If you own... No.
See, now I wish we had like a little button that we could push that puts sound effects in there and just had like child laughter going on right there every time we say the name.
There we go. There's our sound.
Anyway,
who's got that? Because I heard the...
Oh, that was me.
The taps that were played earlier.
That was me.
That's funny.
They will be able to be heard on the show. Even I.
Oh, I gotta find
out
how you did that.
Thrust. If you are an owner of Thrustmaster product, nope. If you're an owner of Thrustmaster products, the show has just gone off completely off the rails.
Nope, we now have a drinking game, everyone. Every time we see Ben laugh, every time he laughs at Thrustmaster, take a shot.
Right now, everybody be.
If you've ever tried to, nope.
See,
I can't do it. If you've ever tried to adjust the settings on Thrustmaster products, you will know that it's a bit of a pain in the backside because you literally have to go, stop it.
I can't help it. I'm tired, too. That's not helping.
You put
literally
this on yourself.
You literally have to go into the Windows Game Controller menu, which is a bit of a pain. On Windows 10, I'm sure it's just as painful on Windows 11, in order to just get to the screen where you can adjust how powerful your wheel is. Now you can do it from your phone.
Ooh, okay. Wonderful.
Yes, the app is available on Google Play and on the Apple App Store. You have to download it, sign in with your Thrustmaster account. I'm gonna get through this.
You can do it. We believe in you.
There will be a place where you can request a download link to your email. As far as I can tell, that is the only way to get the download link for this app. On the PC side, because you do have to download a bit of software for the PC side of things, of course. Oh, so this only works if you use these products on PC. I should have mentioned that earlier. The only way to get that download is to sign in through the app and request it. I could not find it online for the life of me. But anyway, so if we're back in a couple weeks.
That's a big if right now.
I can already see the responsible adult giving us a side eye right now.
Oh, yeah.
From after across the pond. She probably had a giggle herself, too. I could already see it. Yeah.
I'm still recovering. I'm sorry.
That last little bit, I've just tried so hard not to laugh.
I know.
If we're back in 2 weeks, I will report about how useful I have found this app to be. And I'm not going to say the name of the parent company anymore this evening.
I was going to say, how many shows have we done that we've actually brought up their name and we haven't giggled like this at all?
I think this is the first.
I think we're making up for lost time at this point.
They combined my Thrustmaster. Just those words in combination just doesn't sound right.
We apologize, Collective, but you know what? We have to have a good
laugh. Actually, at this point, sorry, not sorry. This is just... Oh, man.
Go with John said, stop it.
Yeah, this is a culmination of grown men that are incredibly tired recording at bedtime, practically.
Yeah. Practically, yeah. Taylor?
You ready for the esports round of the week?
Can you save
please
us from
do,
the insanity?
So
we got to do the ad read first. So
yes, can you save us from this insanity with the esports roundup of the week brought to you by the Gaming Athlete?
Esports roundup of the week brought to you by the Gaming Athlete. New headset, Jordan. Does it sound better?
Yes, it does.
I was about to say, new headset's still annoying. Head on over to the Gaming Athlete. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com.
Well, let's get things started with, of course, the newest global championship coming in later on this year, and that is the IMSA Esports Global Championship with iRacing, announced over this past weekend at the Petit Le Mans event. This race will consist of four different 2-hour and 40-minute races, utilizing, of course, all the four GTP hybrids, as well as a mixed variety of GT3 cars that will be racing on four of America's most unique and toughest endurance tracks. Starting off on, of course, November the 5th, will be at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, followed by the Watkins Glen, then rounding out at Sebring and Daytona on December the 16th. Catch all the action on iRacing and IMSA's streaming platforms. A couple of other news to point out as well, as Eduardo Leo captures his first career Grand Prix Turn Racing iRacing Series event at the brand new Zandvoort circuit. These Dallara IR1s really showcased a lot of speed, especially at the new rescan track, and it's going to be exciting to see when they head to the streets of Belle Isle later on this week. And of course, in the world of iRacing this week, a special event is showcased as the iRacing SCCA runoffs will kick off on Saturday and Sunday. Five different classes, 35-minute races. You can catch all of the action on iRacing streaming platforms to see who comes out as the best of the best at Virginia International Raceway. Also during this week is, of course, the amazing eNASCAR events, such as the eNASCAR College Series at Charlotte Motor Speedway and the eNASCAR Contender Series at Homestead Miami Speedway. Liberty University's very own Austin Farr took home the win at Charlotte Motor Speedway as he was able to hold off a bunch of hard-charging drivers. One of those, of course, being Logan Clampett and Garrett Lowe, two of the top drivers in the College Series as they finished second and third. John Forbes and Braden Mukovich rounded out your top five. The next round of the eNASCAR College Series, of course, will be later on this year as they get ready to battle it out at Dover Motor Speedway. Qualifiers will begin on October 21st through the 31st, so you only have till this weekend to qualify all the way till Halloween. And the main event is on Tuesday, November the 7th. Catch all the action on all of iRacing and NASCAR's streaming platforms. eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series driver, now in Contender Series, Vicente Salas is now your winner at Homestead. He was able to pilot his Toyota up to the front of the field and win by an astounding just 0.2 of a second over Ryan Luza. And last week's winner, Caden Honeycutt. Top two were these drivers were looking to try to see if they can punch their way in to return to eNASCAR competition. Currently, it's Vicente Salas, Honeycutt, Luza, Novak, Falkingham, your top five in the point standing. But a lot of drivers having to deal with a bunch of ups and downs as a couple of heavy hitters, drivers such as Christopher Pfeffer, Femi Olatbusson, Derek Justice, and Christopher Hill, did not get to finish the race due to some trouble. And of course, multi-series champion Ray Alfala came home with a 21st place finish, so not looking where he wants to be in order to make his return to eNASCAR competition. The next round of the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series, of course, will be heading off to the Phoenix Raceway on Tuesday, October the 24th. Tune in on all of iRacing and NASCAR's streaming platforms to catch out seeing who makes the return or debut in the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series in 2024.
Lord, I apologize for the insanity that occurred on tonight's podcast.
Just to add a little bit more to that, Taylor, can you do me a favor?
Shoot.
In that same voice that you just did that, could you go Sunday, Sunday, Sunday?
Oh, goodness gracious. Sunday, 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 live and in person.
A little bit extra. I love it. Okay.
You got to have a little extra.
I just had to get it out of my system.
This is why we have Taylor on the show, ladies and gentlemen, is just for that voice.
Great.
He's also,
Go ahead.
He's also really entertaining, too, so that's what
I'm glad. I was hoping I'm going to be a little more entertaining than just my voice.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the fact that you sound like Tony Stewart at times, too.
I still don't get this Tony Stewart part, but okay, I'll just take it.
It just comes through on certain words.
Okay, collective, you know what to do. You just DM me or, you know, in the collective, let me know if I actually do. If I don't, then just tell Lewis he's just losing his mind, which isn't already the case, but hey.
No, see, you can't tell me that I'm losing my mind because I'm already self-aware of that.
Oh, okay, well then, never mind.
Anyway. We're all gonna go think about what we've done. Matt and Steven will be back next week with their particular brand of sim racing news. I've been Ben. Lewis has been Lewis. Taylor has been Taylor. Final thoughts, gentlemen.
I'm gonna go buy a Thrustmaster.
And just to give a plug of who follows us here to this evening, we have On the Grid. Australians show this week, I guess they're talking about Bathurst, how it's in the rearview mirror, and they're going to be breaking down the great race this time with the former winner Frosty himself, Mark Winterbottom, who had a challenging end to his Bathurst campaign, but apparently he's still upbeat about what's to come in the future there. Then they're going to go ahead and break down a huge weekend of racing at Talon Bend and discuss why Speedway is so good in spite of itself, and breakdowns of hots and nots of the week that was. That is Richard Crailsey and the On the Grid crew after us, and also hashtag Eat More Tacos.
First tacos of the new headset.
Yes.
Thank you all. Thank you for joining us for this insanity. Stay safe out there and have a good week. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.